Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And also, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. But let's go ahead and open our program up tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program this evening. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight, Lord. We just pray that and somehow things that we talk about, we might be able to lift up and glorify Christ, that we can point people that are searching to Christ, and that we can encourage people in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ as well. So, Father, bless the program. Use it for your glory. We thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I guess coming to you on the, depending on who you talk to, either the night before the eclipse or the night before the apocalypse, I'm telling you, some of the things I've seen online, people on the radio talking about the eclipse, that you'd think the world was coming to an end tomorrow, but it's an eclipse. Admittedly, an eclipse is an exceedingly rare event. It only happens about every 18 months or so. So you can see how rare it is. But it's just that you usually don't see them because, think about it, usually when you have a solar eclipse, especially the total eclipse, you know, where the sun's completely obscured by the moon, it really, the total eclipse only affects about 1% of the Earth's surface. So we're on a big globe, and most of it's water. So you can see where a lot of people miss many of the eclipses that take place. And so it might be rare to actually see a total eclipse, but total eclipses aren't that as rare as you would think. And in fact, I was looking at something here earlier, and it was showing that there's a number of other eclipses that are coming up. Just look out ahead. I think in 2028 or 9, there's a partial eclipse, and then the following year there's another partial eclipse, which means that we're on the edge of it. It means that somewhere along the line somebody's probably going to get a total eclipse out of that. But it is exciting to think about it, nevertheless, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm not going anywhere. We were talking about a church day. I said I'm going to sit and look in my backyard. I want to watch my chickens. I want to see what they do during the eclipse. I've seen one video online where the chickens wandered about like nothing happened at all, and then another video where the chickens all went back into the coop and roosted. And so that's one of the things that I want to see, is what my chickens do. And the other thing is that during the eclipse, when you're in totality, you can see stars, you can see, I guess, Venus and Jupiter are supposed to be visible. There is a comet out there, but they were suggesting using binoculars to search for it. But I thought, you know, I'll spend all my time with binoculars looking for a comet and I'll miss the eclipse, so I'm not going to worry about the comet so much. But we do have, you know, if you're here in northeastern Ohio, much of the area here that WHKW reaches, we're going to be in some of the prime location. The center line of the eclipse is going to go through Lorraine, cross Avon Lake, and it's just moving toward the northeast. And I was watching a report online today talking about the weather for tomorrow, And right now, depending on where you are, if you're further to the west, like out toward Lorain or west of Lorain, out that direction, it is supposed to be clearer. If you're further to the east, there's going to be a little more cloud cover. And near as I could figure from what they were given on there for where I'm located, closer to the Akron area, we're supposed to have anywhere from about 25-35% cloud cover. And that's really not much. And there is a phenomena, in fact, they discussed it, that when the clouds, or when the eclipse starts, because of the temperature changes and things, some of the clouds actually dissipate. And that's another thing, too, to remember. Everybody's telling everybody to be sure not to look at the sun. So there's the obligatory, don't look at the sun, because even though it's an eclipse, you can still receive significant eye damage. And I guess when it's at totality for a brief few minutes, you can see it, look at. But if you've got those eclipse glasses or something, you can use those, or you can project an image onto something. I remember back in 2017 when we had the partial eclipse visible here, I used a hole in an index card. I punched a hole in it, and it projected on the side of the house, and you could see, you know, the moon where it was taking a bite out of the sun. You could it really was pretty easy to see doing that. So that's always an option right there. And we'll probably talk about that a little bit more during the course of the evening. But I hope you do have plans. They're expecting a lot of people on the roadways. I do know this, coming into the station tonight, the highway was busier, and when I got off the highway here in the vicinity of the station, there's a number of hotels. All their parking lots seemed to be fuller than usual, and there was a lot of traffic on the main road out here when I got off the highway, much more so than typical on a Sunday night. I know there's a number of other sporting events and things like that been going on this weekend, but they really are expecting there to be a lot of people. If this is any kind of a sign, I was talking with my brother, and he's got family out toward Lorain, and they were out visiting last week, and they said every park out there's got porta potties galore. So you know if they're putting porta potties out there, planning on people being there. So usually there's too few porta potties for the number of people that are there. So if that's any indication, they're expecting a bunch of people out toward Lorain. So I hope wherever you're at, you have an opportunity to see it. And it's just one of the things that's just the glory of God, the way that you can see an eclipse. We're the only place that they know of in our solar system that you can see a total eclipse. It's because the moon, even though the sun's 400 times larger than the moon, the sun's also 400 times further away from the earth than the moon is, and it makes the sun and the moon appear relatively the same size in the sky, which is why the moon is able to obscure the entirety of the sun's disk and provide the total eclipse. You say, well, how can something so small cover something so big? Well, here's a good way to think about it. Look at something in the distance. If you're in your house, look at something on the far side of the room. Hold your thumb up and notice how your thumb could obscure incredibly large objects at a distance, especially if you're outside, you have time to do it. You can see how much you can obscure with your thumb. Your thumb can obscure the moon under many circumstances. That's a principle from the physics involved in the way light moves and things like that and travels. But anyway, I hope you're planning on enjoying and safely viewing the eclipse tomorrow. We'll talk about, I'm sure, on Friday, to see, assuming the apocalypse didn't happen, because after all, there are 7 cities named Nineveh, and it's going to be under the eclipse. Well, yeah, I also know Hell, Michigan's going to be under the eclipse, and Paradise, Texas is going to be under it as well. So, if both Hell and Paradise are eclipsed, then it's got to be something, right? But no, there's just so many places that are under the eclipse that you can make up anything you want to and make it sound reasonable. I digress one more thing before continuing on here. I saw a guy this afternoon online who was saying NASA spokesman warned strange things will happen during the eclipse. Well, the strange things that he was talking about happening was chickens might go roost during the middle of the day when the eclipse takes place. Frogs that you hear at night might start chirping. Crickets might start chirping. Well, probably not here. It's too early in the year for that. But the spring peepers, the little wood frogs that you hear in the spring, they might start up. You can see stars and planets in the middle of the day. It gets dark in the middle of the day. Temperature goes down. And that's something people are talking about, making sure you protect your eyes. I think I started to mention this earlier. The program I was listening to earlier today said that on average, temperature go down about 10 degrees in totality. And then there's been some cases where it's gone on or gone down over 28 degrees, nearly 30 degree temperature drop. And I thought about that. All these people are going out expecting it to be a nice day, 60-some degrees, and they're going to be out there maybe with a light sweater. And then could you imagine if it's 60, let's just say it's 65 degrees and the temperature drops 20 degrees. What's that bring us down to? You know, I'm a public school student, so it takes me a few minutes, but 45 degrees, could you imagine? Went down, it even went down 10, it go down 55, and that'd be kind of chilly. And they say sometimes the wind picks up, so you add a little wind chill to that. We'll wait and see. Tomorrow, by this time, we will have survived the Great American Eclipse, as they're calling it. So, again, I hope you have a chance to enjoy. And really, this is something brings, you know, shows the glory of God and how He created this. And like I said, we're the only place in the solar system where you can get a complete solar eclipse like this. And it's just like somebody made it that way for our enjoyment and to bring glory to God. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our phone number is 888-677-9673. As I said, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there, and there's some articles and things that are there and a number of other things that we've got. All at livewithpastoral.com, and as you can tell, I'm a little excited. The nerd side of me comes out with something like this, I guess, and first time I've ever had the opportunity to go through a total solar eclipse. I've been through partial, but it's the first time for a total, so I'm really looking forward to it. And we're going to take our first caller tonight. We've got Nancy, who's been patiently waiting as I've waxed on and on about the eclipse here. And Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. Oh,
good evening.
Good evening to you. And before I get to my topic that I wanted to discuss, I just got a text message from my daughter in California,
mm-hmm.
and she said, she's all excited. She said, well, she subscribes to the Wall Street Journal.
Right.
And on the front page, Cleveland there's two articles about Cleveland. One of them is the cool crowd is in Cleveland because, you know, we're supposed to be able to see the eclipse. And this one article said the eclipse house, big old loft, you can stay in a furniture-less room for $50 a night, bring your own sleeping bag, and it's totally booked up.
Wow.
Which I thought was funny.
Well, I've heard that the hotels, many of them have been booked, some as early as 2 years ago for this.
Really?
You know, like a lot of these Airbnbs, a number of them have been all booked up sometimes for, you know, a year or two. Oh, everybody plan on being here. And just...
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, just getting off the highway to come in here tonight, here in Independence, the hotels where I could see parking lots seem to have a lot of cars in them. And there's sure a lot of cars going up and down the road right now. So there's a lot of people out right now. And they're expecting, actually, going places tomorrow, especially as you get closer to when some of these eclipse parties are going to take place. Because it's going to start in this area around about 2 o'clock, actually, you know, 1:59 in some seconds. So about 2 o'clock, and it's going to go till roughly 4:30. Now, that's not the totality. That's the totality is going to be about 3:12 in the afternoon. And depending on where you're at, you'll see 3 minutes and some odd seconds. Some places you might see just under 3 minutes. If you're out around Lorain, you might see just over 4 minutes because of your in the center line there. But they're expecting that there's going to be a lot of backups on the highways. And they're saying double and triple your travel time that you expect to take to get to places.
Oh, okay. And then another article was in the front page of the Wall Street Journal, the new center of the world is for now in Cleveland, which I thought was pretty dramatic. And my daughter wants me to try to take a picture of the eclipse, but I don't think I'll be able to do much my camera, because if it's cloudy tomorrow, will we really be able to see that much, except the fact that it's going to get dark?
Well, I've heard several things and opinions on taking pictures, and here's where I'm on it. I'm going to wait and get a picture online where some professionals have done it. One guy who's an astronomer, and he's been to a number of eclipses. He said if it's your first eclipse, he said, don't try and take pictures. He said people fumbling around with their cameras and they'll just miss it. He said, if it's your second or third eclipse, then you might want to consider taking a picture. But the other problem with trying to take a picture, and this is what people need to realize, the same intense sun rays that will, you know, hurt your retina, the retina of your eye, burn the back of your eye, will also can potentially harm the sensor on your camera, your phone camera.
That's what I heard.
And burn that out, and then you've ruined that. Somebody suggested if you have those eclipse glasses, you could take the piece, you know, of that and put that over the lens of your camera. But still, I like what the one guy said. You'll be fumbling around with your camera trying to get it set for the shot, and then the next thing you know, it's gone. You miss it.
Yeah.
And he said, enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Let the professionals get the pictures. And I'll guarantee, you know, the news stations, I was listening to a presentation with local news channels. They were talking about, and they're having people all over the place from out around Mentor all the way out to Lorain. And they're going to be all over the place taking pictures and watching the event and everything like that. There's places around here where professionals with the right kind of equipment are going to be taking pictures. There'll be plenty of pictures of the eclipse in Northeast Ohio available.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Much better. I have some eclipse glasses, and I was trying to, you know, you hear about scams and how do you know they're safe? And I saw a thing where they were talking about how to test your glasses. And I share this, one, because it's good to know so you have some confidence in them. But also, I think this is part of the futility of trying to take a picture unless you have the right equipment. They said, first take the glasses and put them on and look around inside the house. And you shouldn't be able to see anything. If you can see the lights in your house or something like that, then they're no good. They're just no good. And then if you don't see anything, go outside on a sunny day, which, you know, earlier today was an absolutely gorgeous day. The morning was beautiful. This afternoon was gorgeous. The sun was shining.
Yes.
And I went outside on the back deck, and I looked around, and I could see absolutely nothing outside. So that was another good sign. They said if you don't see anything that way, then glance at the sun. Don't stare at it, but glance at it, you know, so you look at it for a second or less. And I glanced up at the sun, and you could see a little orange-yellow ball in the sky. And so they said that's the way it should look. So I'm confident that the glasses are okay. But here's the thing. When I looked at it, it really wasn't very big. And I thought if I was trying to get a picture of that, I would get a little tiny dot. And with the eclipse, how would I see anything? Now, what you might try, actually, if you want a picture of your own, I did this during the partial eclipse, project the eclipse onto the side of your house or on the sidewalk or if you got a cement driveway or something, you know. And to do that, you just need a hole in an index card. One guy said, get a colander. It's got all these little holes, and it'll project all kinds of images. And you think, how in the world can it do that? Well, it's the same principle as the pinhole camera, and the same principle that works in the old-fashioned cameras. And you'll be surprised. I remember the last one, I projected on the side of the house, and I took pictures of where I projected it on the side of the house, and you could clearly see where the moon was obscuring the sun. you know, in the partial eclipse. And so you would be able to see that as you're leading up to the total eclipse. But somebody also was saying, a couple of people were saying that if you've never been in a total eclipse before, that you'll never be fully prepared for what you will experience when it happens. They said that if you're on the edge of it, you know, where it's 99.9% covered, you say it's totally different when it becomes 100% covered. And says the reactions among people is really incredible because if you've never experienced it, you're just not prepared for how different it seems. And so I'm, if you can't tell, I'm kind of excited about this. So,
well, I think it's very interesting.
Yeah.
But my daughter, you know, was originally from Cleveland. She's more excited than I am.
Well, you should have had her come home to visit at this time. So
front page articles on the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
Now my question or topic tonight is regarding prayers that God does not listen to. I'd like to know, like for a lost person, are there only certain prayers? Are there any prayers that God will listen to? And then for a saved person, I'm thinking that he doesn't listen to someone that's just begging for something materialistic. You know, oh, God, would somebody please give me a car? You know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that God is supposed to listen to the prayers of the saved people, but I'm wondering, are there some prayers that some people pray that are not something that God would listen to? But I'm mainly interested in, are there any prayers that God listens to of a lost person? Now, I have heard that if the Holy Spirit is drawing a lost person and they're seriously wanting to get saved, they've heard about, you know, being born again. So I have heard that God will listen to those prayers. So if you could expound on that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, and certainly prayer, we're communicating with God. And one thing I guess I would establish first is that sometimes, you know, let me say this first. God hears every prayer because God is omniscient and he's omnipresent. So he knows all and he's everywhere. So there's no prayer that said that he does not actually hear, but there's a big difference between hearing and listening, okay? That's where the difference comes in. First Samuel, for instance, there was a case there where I was reading that recently, where it talks about how the people wanted a king. And God warned them because, you know, God had used the judges in order to rule over, and they were a republic. They were a theocratic republic, really, at the time. And things were really working well, but they were actually jealous of the nations around them that had kings. And so he asked, they asked for a king. They asked Samuel to ask God about having a king. And so God grants them the king, but then he warns them what the king is going to do. And here in 1 Samuel, looking down here in chapter 8, it says in verse 18, "And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." Meaning the idea was, hey, listen, you want a king? This is what the king's going to do to you. He's going to take stuff from you. Because you read the preceding verses there, it says in verse 11, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself for his chariots." In other words, he's going to raise up armies, and he's going to take your sons to man his chariots and fill out the ranks of his armies. He says he'll take your daughters to be confectionaries, cooks, and bakers, and he's going to take your fields, take your vineyards, take your olive yards, and all of them. So he's going to take the tenth of your seed, anyways, he's telling them what he's going to take. And he says, when all this happens and you cry out saying, you know, we're sorry, we shouldn't have asked for a king, he says, I'm not going to listen to you in that day. The Lord will not hear you in that day.
Oh.
He says, you're begging, this is what you want, you're rejecting the leadership that I'm providing. through the judges. So I'm going to give you what you want, and you're not going to like everything that a king entails. And when you cry out and say, basically, you know, give us back the judges. No, sorry. That's it. Not listening to you. And so that's one way there. And then, of course, you know, as I was looking that passage up to get the right part on that, I saw this one here where in Psalm 66, this is the psalm here as, let's see, as he's right, as he's saying this here, and we come down to verse 18, Psalm 66, verse 18, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And, you know, and that's it. People think God is becomes deaf or something, but he's not deaf. He chooses not to listen. He chooses to ignore and not to listen to our prayers until we get our until we clear up the matter of whatever that sin or disobedience or whatever is with him. You know, so we have this idea that it's not that God doesn't hear, can't hear. It's that he chooses not to hear because of our sin. And in fact, Isaiah 59, and this is one that's a real well-known passage here, maybe. Isaiah 59, starting verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. And then it says this, that he will not hear. It's not that he can't hear. It's he's not going to listen to you because why should he feel obligated to listen to you when you're not willing to listen to him?
Excellent.
So that's part of it. Now, of course, the unsaved person, God's not obligated to really to listen to any of their prayers except when they're asking for God to reveal himself to them or, you know, asking God on how to be saved and to put their faith in Christ, asking God for salvation. He says he will certainly hear those prayers. So.
Okay, well, thank you very much for explaining.
Oh, absolutely.
You have a blessed day and happy
I know what you're saying. Happy Eclipse Day. Happy Eclipse Day.
I was gonna say Resurrection Day.
Yes.
Eclipse Day. Thank
Last
you.
Week was okay. Resurrection Day. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, thanks. God bless. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have... we'll get another caller here, but we'll have to probably hold over to the next side of the after the break here because that's coming up. We've got John calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
I am doing well, as you can't tell, getting excited about tomorrow. But other than that, doing okay.
I remember seeing an eclipse here in Cleveland. I think it was either in the 80s or the early 90s, but there wasn't that much excitement.
Well, it was a partial eclipse, I believe, because this is the first total eclipse going across this area since like the 1800s. And that's what I was saying earlier. Eclipses are not as uncommon as a lot of people try to make them out to be. They happen on average about one every 18 months. It's just that most people are not in an area where they see much of it. In 2017, for instance, I remember when that one was taking place, somebody was working on it was my phone line or my internet line, and he comes out and he says, is it getting dark out here? He thought there was a storm coming. And I said, no, it's because there's an eclipse taking place. And him and I were watching, you know, I had the, as I said earlier, I had an index card. I punched a hole in it, and then I had it shining and making a picture of the eclipse on the side of my house. And so he stood there and watched it for a while with me, and he thought it was unusual. He didn't know too much about that one because, you know, we were in the partial eclipse area, and people weren't talking about it as much. This one is crossing They said that like about half of the United States population is being affected by this one. So that's just made a lot of splash this year.
Well, the reason why they're talking about the apocalypse is my understanding is they're going to start CERN up tomorrow. Is there any danger from CERN?
Well, CERN's been running for a while. We're going to have a break here in just a minute, John. I might have to hold you over. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, CERN's been running for a while. There are some experiments that they want to do because the moon coming between the Earth and the sun will block a lot of solar radiation and particles, and they can do some experiments with CERN that they couldn't otherwise. So stay tuned. We got our hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And let me encourage you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can view or listen. I shouldn't say view. I mean, you can look at the static picture, I guess. But you can listen to past programs as well as both hours of our Sunday night program, the 10 o'clock and the 11 o'clock hour. You can listen to Friday afternoon programs. We're on every Friday afternoon from 1:30 till 2 o'clock. And there's some other things there that you can listen to as well. Plus, there's articles that I've written and some other materials, as well as some comments and things. And then there's a link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And you can find out more about that. Certainly invite you to come out and visit us. And then let's see what else we got going on there. Let's see, there's some word searches there on some different things that you can link to. And all that's available at livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, we're brought to you tonight primarily by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And that's our main sponsor. That's why I certainly invite you to come out and visit us. And we're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is located at 4889 Turney Road. That's right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them right here on Live with Pastor Al. And I got to ask our producer Kenny here a question tonight, because we had some East Coast Pizza at our Friday night Bible study. And I had some in the refrigerator that I saved, because a few weeks ago I was waxing on eloquently about the flavor sensation and marvels of East Coast Pizza, and he had so much of that he tortured me by popping some popcorn while I was on the air, and I had to smell his popcorn.
You made me hungry. What was I supposed to do?
So he said, you should have brought me some. So I had a piece. Now keep in mind, this pizza was made Friday afternoon, and it's been sitting in my refrigerator since Friday night, and there was a couple pieces left. I was going to bring him a piece of pepperoni, but my son ate it. So it was only cheese pizza, and I brought it in. Kenny, what did you think of it?
Well, I love pizza, regardless on how old it is usually. Well, it can't be too old, but sitting in a fridge since Fridays, that's good. You're usually maybe 4 or 5 days, you know, at the most I would go. But I love leftover pizza, and that was fantastic. I put it in for like maybe 30 seconds, warmed it up a little bit, and it was fantastic. The only problem that I had was the only plates that we have here are styrofoam, and you can't put those in the microwave. So I had to get a napkin, put it on the napkin, then transfer it over. And
there
I,
you go.
I was careful to only warm it up about 30 seconds because I didn't want to lose any of the cheese, since I don't have any pepperoni.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want the cheese to leak off. But, yeah, it was fantastic. Maybe we should get a fresh one of these days.
Well, we're going to work on that. We're going to work on that. We can you know, put the show on hold and just eat pizza one night.
That sounds great. I think people would enjoy it.
Listening to us chew on the pizza. But, you know, it's a thing that I've said many times over. I don't know of too many pizzas that, you know, a day or two or three later that you can reheat it and it comes out almost as good as when it came out of the oven the first time.
It was fantastic. It was great. It made me wish to have more.
So there. And I don't know. Can I call that an unsolicited?
I don't know. It was kind of solicited, since you did sort of bring me the pizza.
I brought you the pizza, yeah.
You paid me in pizza.
But they didn't solicit it.
No, you did.
Yeah, so anyway. But thanks. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And so there, you heard it. Even days later, after sitting in the oven, getting all hard and
everything. Now, I will say that usually when I warm up pizza, I put it back in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
that probably would have just been fantastic. Like back in an oven instead of the microwave that we have here. But
we've done that too, because it is. It is better. I think it heats it better when you do it that way. But, I mean, the amazing thing is it doesn't turn into like shoe leather or get hard as a rock or something like some pizzas do.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was perfect.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So, and Gus, the owner, I always joke with him. He's originally from Lebanon, and I say, Gus, it takes a Lebanese in America to make a good Italian pizza. That's what America's all about, isn't it? Well, thank you, Kenny. I appreciate that, and I just wanted to share that, because, you know, it's good. He hasn't had it before. And I made sure I was able to at least save a piece of cheese pizza for you.
Yeah, I mean, you've mentioned it so many times, and every time I'm sitting there going, like my mouth starts watering, and I'm sitting there and I'm just salivating over this pizza that's non-existent, you know,
well,
in front of
go.
Me.
There we go.
Now
so
there we go.
Now we'll work on getting a fresher pizza with something other
sure.
than just cheese.
Yeah, that works.
All right. We'll work on that. So, okay. Well, thank you for that. that first time experiencing leftover East Coast pizza several days old. So, and it is good. In fact,
I got
one piece, I think, of that cheese pizza left when I get home from the radio tonight. I am going to heat that up, and I'm going to enjoy it before going to bed tonight. So that's what I'm looking forward to. So at any rate, well, I guess we better get back to the radio program. We do have callers waiting for us, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thanks. All right. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can call us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air. You got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word? We were talking with John just before the break, and just before we got distracted on the pizza and all, but John was asking a question about the CERN, the super collider there in Europe. And John, are you still with us?
Yes, that was funny.
Glad you enjoyed it. The only way it would make it more enjoyable is if you go and buy and get one of Gus's pizzas. That's or East Coast Pizza there. Gus is the owner. So,
but I had a couple of questions about CERN.
Yes.
What is this God particle that they're trying to discover?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because the Bible talks about a number of things, which I'll get to here in a minute, but that I think actually bear reference to this. But they're trying to find the fundamental particles that make up the things that we see. And they've come up, if I remember correctly, and maybe somebody will call and correct me on this. I'm not a physicist, but I do enjoy reading some of the stuff about it from time to time. But you know, we know that there's something that glues everything together. In fact, they've got particles that they call gluons because that's what they do. They glue everything together. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And as he continues, he says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which were not made of things which do appear. Meaning everything is made up of things that you can't see. And so they're trying to find these fundamental particles. You know, molecules are made up of atoms. Atoms are made up of, you have the nucleus of the atom, which has protons and neutrons. And then you have the electrons in a cloud around the nucleus. And then, of course, those particles, in turn, are made up of other subatomic particles, such as quarks and different things like that. And something holds everything together, and for some people they believe that the God particle is possibly this mythical particle that's responsible for keeping everything together in some fashion. And they're also, because of the way the universe exhibits itself, there's a thought that there's this stuff called dark energy and dark matter, which they believe is more numerous than the energy and matter that we can detect. It's called dark because you can't detect it. So they just, by faith, believe it's there. You can't see it. So they accept by faith because they think it's necessary to hold everything together. And that's something they're hoping to try and identify too when they use the CERN tomorrow during the eclipse. But, you know, the Bible clearly says everything that we see is made up of things that you can't see. And, you know, one of the thoughts is when you look at the nucleus of an atom, people don't think about this often, but when you do, if anybody's ever played with a magnet, you know how when you take a magnet, John, you know, it's got like a bar magnet, you know, and you put the two ends together, like there's a north and a south end, and not lined up necessarily with north and south on the map, but just that's what they call it, you know. So you put the two ends that are like the two north ends together, the magnet pushes apart, and if you put the north and the south end together, they stick together, right? So,
right.
So the idea is that like repels and unlike attracts. And same thing with the protons and the electrons. The electrons are attracted to the pronouns, personal pronouns there in the atom. But they're attracted to the protons in the atom. And that makes sense because the electrons are negatively charged and the protons are positively charged. And so the positive charge of the nucleus attracts the negatively charged electrons into orbit around it. And that helps with some of the bonding with the different things to make up molecules and stuff like that. But stop and think about it. What keeps the protons next to each other in the nucleus? Because if you have two protons together and they're both positively charged, they should repel each other. And so scientists have come to the conclusion, they explain it, they call it, I believe it's the strong nuclear force. There's a strong nuclear force and the weak nuclear force. Like I said, I'm not a physicist. I sometimes get it mixed up. But this force operates at very, very tiny distances. Basically, the distance encompassed by the nucleus of the atom. And so in that small area, this force overcomes the repulsive force of the two positively charged protons trying to push each other apart. And that's why when you can break the atom, there's so much energy released because they're trying to push apart all the time. Just like if you hold the two ends of the magnet that want to repel each other together, the moment you let go, they fly apart. And so this force, which they don't really understand, is holding the protons together. Well, you know, I read Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 here, where it's talking about Jesus, who by the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And I think it's basically what's holding it. It's God himself that's holding it together. And so I find it kind of ironic that they're thinking there might be some kind of particle responsible for this force. And just like we have photons, you know, for light and electrons for electricity and things like that, there might be some kind of God particle that holds everything together, whatever. And, well, it's God himself that holds everything together by the word of his power. There's the force right there, I think. But, hey, I'm not a physicist, so but I can speculate.
That's interesting. My other question was, is can CERN create a black hole?
Well, you know, there's actually been some speculation and some thought that they might try to do that because a black hole essentially is started with super compacted matter and reaches the point where it's so densely packed together that it even light can't escape from it. And there's some concern. Some people have thought, well, if they were to create one, even if it was microscopic, it's going to be pulling energy and matter into it constantly, and it would grow. And so then what would happen to it? Would it eventually pull us all in? Well, that's the concern that some people have. Of course, reading the Bible, I know that's not how things are going to end. God has a completely different plan in store for this world than being swallowed up by a black hole. But still, that's what people worry about.
So. Well, would it be, according to the scientists, do they think that it's theoretically possible?
Yeah, I think some do. I think some do, but it requires a massive amount of energy. And so it's not easy to achieve, but some think that it's possible.
So if we believe in the Bible, we don't feel that we're in any danger then.
I don't believe so because, you know, I've read the book, it's like reading a mystery or something, you know, and you worry, is the hero, you know, going to get safely through the story? But then you say, well, I know I've read the end. I know how it ends. Same thing here. I've read the end. I know how it ends. And, you know, have confidence in the Lord that he is going to make sure that certain things happen and certain things don't happen so that eventually the world will go in the direction that he wants it to.
Well, is one of their objectives to create a black hole?
I don't know specifically about tomorrow, but I know some people have done that. I think tomorrow the big thing is the moon is going to be blocking so much of the solar radiation, the high energy particles that are constantly streaming from the sun are going to be blocked by the moon. And they're looking at that as an opportunity to do some types of experiments. Searching, I think one of the things they're searching for is dark matter, and they're hoping that they can make some progress with that. Whether they do or don't remains to be seen. And really, it does. It takes a lot of energy to run the collider there, but they're hoping to, I guess another thing they're hoping to do is collide some protons together in such a manner to simulate what they think happened with what they call the Big Bang. And I think that's how they're hoping to find and identify dark matter. They're thinking if they can cause collision that in their mind emulates what they believe happened in the beginning, that they might see some dark matter produced from it and somehow be able to detect it in some way based on its gravitational effects or something. But all of that's highly speculative.
But the Big Bang is unbiblical, right?
I'm sorry, the Big Bang is what?
Unbiblical?
Yeah, correct. I know some people say, well, yeah, God spoke and bang, it happened. That's a Big Bang. But it's not what the Big Bang is. The Big Bang is you had a little point of nothingness that everything that exists was compressed into. And for some unknown and undetectable reason, that thing of nothingness contained everything, suddenly exploded and in a very short period of time expanded out at much faster than the speed of light. And then the result of this massive explosion, all the matter and energy that we see essentially was created. And of course, some of it's recycled back and forth. Matter can become energy. Energy can become matter. And so everything that we see is a result of this initial explosion called the Big Bang, and then it expanded, like I said, at a rapid rate, exceedingly fast rate, faster than the speed of light, and then it stretched out and then slowed down considerably. And so now we're seeing, in a sense, the effects of this big explosion.
Well, that's interesting. Well, thank you for answering my questions.
Oh, no, there's interesting questions tonight, John. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, have a good evening.
All right, thank you very much. Enjoy the eclipse tomorrow. So it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got phone lines, got a couple people yet, but our number is 888-677-9673. We've got Dr. K calling us back tonight. Dr. K, welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Good evening to you, and thank you for calling tonight. Are you looking forward to the eclipse?
South Pacific friend.
What's that? Yes,
this
South Pacific friend.
South
yes,
Pacific friend, my friend.
Yes, sir. And speaking of American Samoa, we're bringing up, American Samoa is actually going to be the first U.S. territory to see the eclipse. How's that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, and in fact, I've got this calculator that I've been using. It's called timeanddate.com. If somebody wants to look it up, timeanddate.com. If you go to my Facebook page for Live with Pastor Al, I believe I have a link to it there. But you can type in the name of some place, or there's even a map that you can find the coordinates on there. And it'll give you the information. For instance, the solar eclipse is going to be a partial solar eclipse, obviously, and it's going to start at 6:28 in the morning. Now, you've been to Samoa, and I spent 4 years there. This is about sunrise, okay? And the sun will just be coming up.
Every day is the same.
What's that?
Every day is the same.
Yeah, pretty much, because you're so close to the equator, there's very little variation. So,
don't forget, I lived in the Marshall Islands.
Right. Well, yeah, same similar thing there, but I don't know if the Marshall Islands is going to get this, because Samoa is only going to have about 2 minutes of the eclipse being visible. It's a partial eclipse. It'll start at sunrise at tomorrow morning. And there, I think there are 6 or 7 hours behind us right now. I think there's 7 hours because we're on savings time. So sunrise will start at 6:28:45 local time. And at 6:29:11 will be, let me back up. I'm looking at something wrong here. The partial eclipse will actually begin at 4:51 in the morning and 36 seconds. That's it's night at that time. Say, how can you have an eclipse?
Exactly.
Well, it's starting in the ocean before it gets to Samoa. So the eclipse will have already started. At 6:28:45, when the sun begins to come up, you still will not see the eclipse because it's going to be hidden below the horizon. At 6:29:11, the maximum portion of the eclipse, but it'll still not be visible because it'll be below the horizon at that point. But at 6:31:02, the sun will be up, and you'll be able to see a little glimpse of it, for just a couple of minutes between 6:29 and 6:31. In fact, if you happen to find yourself in the Samoan Islands, they recommend going up to the highest point that you can find, to where you can get a quicker view, because the higher you go, the sooner you'll see the sun come up, and then you can get a view there. But
well,
that's the first.
You know where
point.
I lived. I lived way south, in addition to the Marshall Islands,
right?
But also in Alaska. But
yes.
Here's the point I wanted to make to you and your audience,
uh-huh.
And that is at the United Nations this week, the United Nations Council voted on destroying Israel.
Yes.
And do you know, right at that point, there was an earthquake in Manhattan.
Yes, and
like God says, Israel is my country.
Exactly, and not okay. only that, the night before, Joe Biden, in a conversation with the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, basically was laying down the law to Netanyahu that you got to cooperate, and we're not going to give you anything otherwise. And so, what happens the next day? Boom, earthquake.
Exactly.
God is not mocked.
Everybody out there.
And guess what happened the day after Iran threatened retaliation against Israel, that they were going to attack Israel? Well, the night before, they had incredible meteor showers, and then the next day, they had a major earthquake as well. So,
there you go.
Hey, Dr. K, we've got a break coming up for a few minutes. Do you want to hold over?
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, and I hope you enjoy the eclipse tomorrow.
Out on the river, I'm a kayaker, so I'll be on the Cuyahoga.
All right. Well, you got to be able to get a good view there at some point. You have over 3 minutes of viewing. So
you bet.
So I'm looking forward to it. I still want to see what my chickens
we
do.
All
so.
Are.
All right. Well, we got a break coming up, and
thanks,
stay
sir.
Tuned. We got another hour to go after this break.
Summer 1787. Delegates gathered in Philadelphia to revise the Articles of Confederation. Their efforts were at a standstill. It was hot, tempers were flaring, the Union was in danger of collapsing. On June 28th, an old man, Benjamin Franklin, addressed the president of the convention. "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." With this reminder to seek God, our Constitution was born. Today, we've all but abandoned God in our nation. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. If our founding fathers realized they could not build a nation without God, what makes us think that we can keep a nation without God?